May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be holy and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. It is good to see you all. You know, back in high school, a friend of mine had a t-shirt that I loved, a t-shirt I coveted, I should say. It was one of those small-time local band tees, and it was neon green with a circle of guitars pointing toward one word slapped right in the middle of the logo. The logo said Long Haul. That was the name of the band, Long Haul. I loved that t-shirt. I believe we were in PE one day when I managed to negotiate a trade, a t-shirt for a t-shirt. We walked into class with one tee, we walked out with another. I can't remember which of my tees I gave him in exchange, which makes me believe I got the better end of the deal. I also can't remember the band or their music, really, or why in the world they called themselves Long Haul, but that t-shirt, it stuck with me. It was holy to me, by which I mean it eventually was full of holes. And even then, I only stopped wearing it when it didn't fit me anymore. Long haul. To be in it for the long haul, some say, means to stick with something or someone through thick and thin, for richer, for poorer, for better, for worse. And that's the word that comes to mind for me today as I read Jesus' words talking to his disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. Abide in my love. I have said these things to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Abide in my love. Abide in my love for the long haul. Now, to abide implies a long-term commitment, a resolute permanence in the face of a world whose only constant seems to be change. Abiding love is what we promise when we gather around the font at baptism, when we promise to raise a child up in the way of Jesus. It is what we promise when we stand before family and friends and make our wedding vows. This verb, abiding, implies that the love we celebrate on such an occasion isn't just a summer fling, a mere romantic feeling, a fleeting, ephemeral thing, but an earnest compulsion toward love, whatever may come. It is a promise not just to love the person as they are, but to love the person they will inevitably become. And trust me, that person, whether your partner at the altar or the child at the font, that person will change. That is just what happens to people with time. Abiding with people that will inevitably continue to grow and change, persevering in the face of that, that can be a scary thing. Now, let me pause for a moment. Let me make something abundantly clear here. This is not to say that we must put up with abuse or neglect. Life is complicated, and such things are often a matter of individual discernment, not of unyielding, tone-deaf proclamations from the pulpit. Abiding in love does not mean that we forget about accountability and mutual respect. In such situations, I find that it is important to remember that God's grace abides with you, that God remains on your side, even when, maybe especially when, others don't. But the fact still remains. Jesus imagines a love for us, a love between us that abides. And today, in the Gospel of John, he's not saying this to a couple on their wedding day or a family welcoming a newborn. He is saying this to his friends, These are his parting words to his followers on the eve of his crucifixion, the community tasked with carrying his vision forward after the death that awaits him on the other side of this beautiful speech. Abiding love within the Christian community is not reserved for those whom we have warm feelings toward. Love within the Christian community is an obligation, a call to go beyond those natural loves, the people we usually relate to, our family and friends. This obligation is especially important in light of those whom we don't particularly like. You know, years ago, during my senior year in college, I sat with a mentor of mine, a guy named Dave, trying to sort out my feelings about graduation. I was excited about the prospect of life beyond the obligations of school, but I was also anxious, not just about whether or not I'd land a job, though that was certainly a part of it, but about what the next stage of life held. Freedom from obligation is exciting sometimes, but change is still scary. As I worked through my feelings, Dave began to tell me about the strange root of the word obligation. Obligation implies responsibility, he said, whether to someone or something, which often gives it a bad rap. I was obligated to complete my schoolwork. I was obligated to the community life of my undergrad institution. But the root of the word obligation is also the root of the word ligament, the flesh and sinews that bind our body together. Our obligations, therefore, aren't always signs of mindless duty or subservience. Our obligations sometimes are the ligaments that bind us together. They name our mutual dependence. They name how we belong to each other. Obligations and ligaments are tied up in that word we talk about so much, belonging. Dave gave me words that day to name what I was really scared of, the loss of a community that I had come to love. I was obligated not just to my schoolwork, but to a place that had become my home. I was obligated. I was bound to my friends, sustained by the common rhythms of life together in college. Friends, there are days when the work of love may feel like a mere obligation, a chore. There are days when loving the people within your community is a challenge, trust me. But the beauty of what we are called to in this experiment called church is not that we always agree or that we always like each other, but that we promise to abide by one another. And through the years that I have been with you, through sabbaticals and staffing changes and capital campaigns, through a pandemic and shutdowns, and the uncertainty that comes with it all, I have been constantly surprised again and again and again and again by your ability to abide, to love the people that sit next to you in the pew, even when you're not sitting in pews, to provide help when you can, to accept help when you need it. That is the work of the church, to abide in love. It is what Jesus called his disciples toward in that upper room 2,000 years ago. It is the same work that is before us right now. Friends, these are difficult times to commit to loving your neighbor. The world wants you to pick sides. It has mapped out options for you about who is in and who is out, whose opinion you should respect and whose opinion you should ignore. But Jesus wants you to abide in love. A love that breaks walls down rather than builds them up. A love that extends to the people you least imagine being able to love. And it begins right here, right now, with the people sitting next to you today. As I said earlier, this work is never finished. Change is always, always on the way. We are in the process of returning to in-person worship right now. We have hired a new associate rector for youth and children's ministries who will begin her role in August. We are finishing up the education building next door with more room and flexibility to welcome people onto our campus once it is safe to do so. There are exciting things ahead, and I hope, I pray that you are ready to welcome not just the people that you know, the people that you have missed, but also those we have yet to meet. That is the vision Jesus cast on the eve of his crucifixion. Having loved his own, the gospel says, he loved them to the very end. That is the obligation mapped out for us, to the very end, as the Jesus movement took its first steps. Friends, let us move forward in faith. Let us belong to one another. Let us abide in Christ's love. And let us always make room for more, for the long haul. Amen.